thinking better and thinking together about life's most important issues. A place to finally meet in the middle, to think freely and reasonably about the big questions of life. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to another episode of Thinker Sensitive. My name is Ryan Ragazine, and I am honored to be your host. Today, we're talking about the pursuit of fame and status, a pursuit that is often confused with the pursuit of happiness. I'm a big Anthony Bourdain fan. He and I share much in common. We both paid our dues in restaurants, developing a love for food and cooking early on in our lives. We both love words and love writing, believing in the artistry, profundity, and power of both the written and spoken word. We both have a special affinity for art, particularly music, poetry, and cinema, the amalgamation of which I sometimes refer to as visual poetry, which is exhibited in Bourdain's inventive and theatrical documentary-style content. We both have no problem asking tough questions and having difficult conversations. We both share a passion for adventure and travel, though in comparison to Bourdain, I've barely gotten off the blocks. But I suppose I have a whole lifetime to catch up. And we both love to create things, new things, original things, novel things. Before putting together this episode, I don't think I ever realized how much Bourdain and I had in common. And maybe just how much Bourdain had influenced and impacted me on a personal level. I guess this makes sense considering the fact that I've seen every episode of No Reservations, Parts Unknown, and I think even The Layover, at least once. I've watched many of them multiple times. As I was listing the things that Bourdain and I have or had in common, the English language begins to fail me. The specific tense that I was using, the present tense, doesn't really hold up. It doesn't adequately reflect reality. Though I am, Anthony was. I exist, I persist in time. But Anthony no longer does. Language fails me here. As Anthony failed his friends David Chang and David Cho. As fame, drug addiction, and a broken heart failed Anthony. Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain, a film that I've already watched 3 times, chronicles the eventful life, to say the least, of the well-traveled journalist, incisive cultural critic, as sharp as some of his favorite kitchen knives, and popular food connoisseur. Bourdain was a foodie before the label existed, before it was trendy, before it was hip. The obscure chef turned rogue author became, almost overnight, an American success story, quickly skyrocketing up the charts of the New York Times bestsellers list with his notorious, but critically acclaimed memoir, Kitchen Confidential, a tell-all book that divulges all the fascinating inner workings of a restaurant kitchen. I unfortunately know some of these firsthand. Following his swift rise to fame in the writing industry, Bourdain was given the opportunity to create a food and travel show. Always cynical, and ever pessimistic, it took a while for Bourdain to come around to the idea and to grow into the unique and, at the time, novel role that he had been given. Over time, however, the idea would be polished, and the role would be refined, reaching creative and artistic heights that I don't think many could have predicted. Always imaginative, a dreamer at heart, Bourdain would come to recognize this opportunity as a creative outlet, a medium through which he could paint a beautiful and awe-inspiring portrait of the world. Bourdain surrounded himself with skilled and talented people, photographers, lighting crews, sound techs, directors, producers, and artists who allowed Bourdain to maximize his full potential and to realize his lofty and idealistic vision, who helped Bourdain turn this simple idea of a food and travel show into the artistic wonder and cinematic masterpiece that it would become. An innovative, highly stylized, breathtaking show that would appeal to people's hearts as well as to their minds, drawing viewers and opening them up to what seemed like totally new horizons and endless possibilities, to a whole new world of exploration, discovery, and adventure. Parts Unknown wasn't just a show. It was an experience. For those of us who couldn't travel the world, who can't travel the world, in some ways, we lived through Anthony Bourdain. What he saw, we saw. What he tasted, we tasted. What he experienced, we experienced. And I suppose that small but vibrant part of us that lived vicariously in and through the beloved Emmy-winning TV personality left the world, the bright and beautiful world that he helped open up to us, with him. Bourdain's life can teach us a lot of things. An avid and gifted storyteller, a great conversationalist and dialogue partner, a lover of food, travel, and culture, and someone who repeatedly highlighted, whether begrudgingly or not, the value of authentic community, Bourdain's colorful history testifies to the beauty of diversity, the importance of inclusivity, the cruciality of tolerance and civil discourse, the benefits of openness, and the wonder and splendor of the people and the world around us. In particular, his work emphasizes the potency of a shared meal, the value of sitting at table and breaking bread with others, the power and potential it possesses in breaking down barriers, in creating empathy and mutual understanding, and in fostering genuine affection for and friendship with others amidst profound difference. His life also sheds light on some of the darker sides of the human experience and the human condition. Bourdain was a troubled individual. He was weathered and scarred. He was frail and fragile. A weary traveler, he was. Though he was constantly surrounded by people, he was always alone. Though he was always well-fed, he was ever empty. Though he was often immersed in the most wondrous sights, the sweetest of sounds, and the most pleasant sensations, he became numb and unfeeling, callous to the world that had given him so much, He was a runner. He ran from his problems, ran from his pain, from one country to another, one continent to the next. He was restless, disquieted, haunted, like a child who just woke up from a nightmare. This was a person who seemingly had it all. Wealth, fame, friendship, a family. Not to mention, he probably had one of the greatest and most desirable jobs imaginable. He seemed to have everything that one could ever ask for. Yet in the end, he felt he had nothing to live for. He left behind a young daughter. I wonder what she thinks of his hopeless and fatalistic perspective. His final outlook on his life. His final verdict. Which led to his final and fatal decision. There are many things that we can learn from the end of Bourdain's story. The importance of mental health. Being able to open up and talk to people when we're struggling. The benefits of having a strong support system in our lives. And the tragedy of suicide. Bourdain's story, particularly the tragic end of his eventful story, says something about the futility, the vanity of status, fame, influence, and popularity. Anthony Bourdain had all of these things in spades. The things that so many of us strive for and run after. The things that some of us would probably sell our souls for. Yet none of these things were ultimately fulfilling enough, ultimately satisfying enough, to keep him alive. He gained the whole world and forfeited his life. Bourdain was a visionary, but he lost his vision for the future. He lost hope. All the status and influence in the world can't give you an enthusiasm for life and a desire to live. All the fame and popularity in the world can't impart meaning and purpose. It can't implant or bestow the sense of value and self-worth that one needs to endure, to carry on. On June 8th, 2018, Anthony Bourdain took his own life. He hung himself in the bathroom of a luxury hotel in France. His body was found by a dear friend, someone who happened to be a regular guest on his show. There's a profound truth hidden in the graphic details of his tragic death. Bourdain killed himself in a luxury hotel, a symbol of the acclaim and adoration and fame and popularity that he had achieved. Now a symbol of the futility and vanity of it all. Rest in peace, my friend. May you rest in peace. Anthony Bourdain's story, unfortunately, isn't all that new or original. It's an age-old tale, a story that has been told time and time again. In fact, after his death, IMDb added Bourdain's name to a long, extensive list of 197 celebrities who have committed suicide over the years. Bourdain joins famous figures like Kurt Cobain, Marilyn Monroe, Chris Cornell, Junior Seau, David Foster Wallace, and Robin Williams, to name just a few. In a somewhat recent conversation with his longtime best friend, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck lamented his fame and celebrity, which he depicts as more of a vice than a virtue, more of a curse than a blessing. In the dialogue, Affleck states, quote, "I've never found any virtue in fame, at all. Short of like, I've probably gotten some tickets out of it and got reservations, but the whole point was to be able to do this job. Otherwise, what's it worth? It just gets corrosive. It changes your relationship with people." End quote. Not only is it well documented that fame, status, popularity, and influence don't lead to happiness and fulfillment, but it's also well known that fame and celebrity have a corrupting, or, to quote Ben Affleck, a corrosive tendency. Luxury often leads to decadence. Fame often leads to ruin. To speak briefly to the first point, becoming famous or reaching celebrity status or making it big, or going viral, or gaining significant influence among your peers won't heal the wounds of your past. It won't purge your demons. It won't clear your conscience. It won't heal your heart. It won't make you whole. To invoke the life of Anthony Bourdain, popularity won't make you feel less alone, less empty, and less numb and callous to the world. In fact, it often has the opposite effect on people. Fame can't fix our emotional, psychological, behavioral, moral, and spiritual problems. The reality is that, more often than not, it only exacerbates these problems, compounding matters. In the end, status simply cannot bring rest to a weary soul. Influence simply cannot speak the words of peace to a disquieted spirit, for it doesn't know the right words to say. It doesn't understand the words that need to be spoken. It doesn't speak the right language. Earthly acclaim will never bring true meaning and purpose to our lives. Human esteem will never give us the hope that we need to endure suffering and to persevere in an imperfect world. It often creates a hollow and fleeting but deceptive and seductive facade of self-worth and personal value that later on reveals itself for what it is and betrays us when we need it the most. Our salvation, our redemption, will never be found in this. As far as the second point goes, that fame has a corrupting power and a degrading tendency, this is no doubt true. Fame often produces pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Celebrity can easily go to our heads. We start believing what our fans write about us and what our followers say about us. We develop an unrealistic and unhealthy view of ourselves. Pride often leads to selfishness and self-centeredness. Hubris is the pathway to egocentricity. There's a reason why many Hollywood elites have a reputation for being jerks. Fame can also foster laziness and a spoiled and entitled attitude. It can make us jaded. Detached from the surrounding world and divorced from the common man, we become uncaring and unkind, lacking compassion for others. Fame can lead to all kinds of vices, but it doesn't have to. Like with money and wealth, popularity is not inherently evil. Fame doesn't necessitate vice and immorality. One can be a popular person and a good person at the same time. It's just hard, which is why it tends to be so uncommon. Again, similar to riches, status and influence can be used for good or for evil. But, like with all forms of power, it is easily abused and highly corruptible. Before I bring this episode to a close, I want to take us back to something that I mentioned in the previous episode, and something that I've found to be really helpful in these discussions: the schema of means and ends, analyzed within the scope of the universal human pursuit of happiness. Again, what are the means that we're trying to use in order to reach our desired end? Are these the kinds of things that can actually bring true and lasting happiness? Why or why not? Can fame, status, popularity, influence, worldly acclaim, and human esteem give us real joy and enduring fulfillment? If not, then what kinds of things might? What kinds of things can? One thing I know for sure is that fame should never be an end in itself. If it's treated as an end in itself, it will always disappoint, for it promises much more than it can actually deliver. If you become famous, I promise you that your fame won't be enough. It won't truly satisfy the desires of your heart and the needs of your soul. You'll reach your desired end, goal, telos, and when the magic and romance of it all soon wears off, you'll come to realize that your true desires have not been fulfilled. Happiness will remain an evasive thing for you, as evasive as it ever was. Like with money and wealth, instead of viewing fame as an end in itself, it should be used as a means to an end, specifically as a means to the end of helping others. In this way, popularity and status can be used for good and can lead to virtue. When we use our influence for others in a selfless manner, we will find a peace, a part of that happiness that we so badly desire. Influence that is used as a concrete expression of love for neighbor becomes a means to true happiness, a happiness that is fulfilled in part in time and in whole in the eternity of God, the source and goal of all happiness. We live in an era where many people have made fame, status, and influence their main goals in life. Social media has brought this common human desire to its climax in world history. A generation of YouTubers and Instagrammers and TikTokers all clamoring, all pining for their moment in the sun, their opportunity to go viral, their chance to break it big. This is not all bad. The contemporary landscape has allowed a lot of people to greatly bolster their quality of life from the comfort of their own homes. It gets bad when it begins to distort our self-perception, infect our personal value, and cloud our self-worth. For you are worth more than many sparrows. You are worth more than many likes, shares, and subscribers. Yes, you are worth the very fame and influence of the living God. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. This episode and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive are available on thinkersensitive.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app today to listen to more thought-provoking content from Thinker Sensitive.